Dear brothers and sisters, a very blessed Christmas season to you and your loved ones. This is Bishop Kevin Vann. One of my favorite songs of the season is an Italian hymn called Tu Scendi dalle Stelle, or Jesus Came Down from the Stars, or Jesus Came Down from Heaven. Let us keep all that in mind this year as we journey through this holiday season, that the Lord has come down to meet us and guide us and walk with us. And if you happen to hear Tu Scendi dalle Stelle, think about how the Lord has come down to meet all of us. Amen.
Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Relevant Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shaped the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Thank you for tuning in this week once again to Catholic Sports View. I am Bob Gibson, and later on in the program, we're going to talk with Amanda Simon. She is with the Boris Family Foundation. Of course, that is the world-famous agent Scott Boris and the Boris Classic Baseball Tournament. Yeah, we're talking a little baseball this week. And that's coming up in the spring, but we want to touch on that Boris Classic, and we'll talk with Amanda about how this tournament gets put together. We're also going to talk with the new boys basketball coach in his first year at J. Sarah Catholic. That is Keith Wilkinson, so we'll get a chance to meet the new coach out at J. Sarah. And we kick things off this week by talking some wrestling. And I love talking wrestling. Such a fun sport, and one of the best in the business. Certainly the top team in Orange County here, and that is Servite High School. We welcome in the head coach of Servite High School, Alan Clinton, one of the best coaches in the business and certainly one of the most successful coach. Thanks for joining us here on Catholic Sports View.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you for having me. Yeah. Thanks for the kind words.
No, absolutely. They're all true. We only speak the truth here on Catholic Sports View. Otherwise, we got to go to confession. You know, it's you know, it's the way it is,
yeah,
as Catholics, right?
Candles, we'll all be in trouble here. Yeah, I know that one well.
Always tell them the truth here. Well, at least we try to.
That's the only way to do it. Yeah,
It's so true. Amen to that. And obviously, your wrestling program, I mean, it speaks for itself. I mean, this is not a program that's just come on the scene. This is one that you've built up and has been a consistent, great team in Southern California for so long. And boy, this year, it looks like you've raised the bar even that much higher. I mean, this is such a great group you've got once again this year.
Well, it's a fantastic group. And yeah, we got to keep raising the bar. Otherwise, I'd have to fire myself, you know, being the AD. So I got to keep taking it to the next level. But it's a great, great group of young men. And I mean, I always have fantastic guys, but I kind of think what happens is the next group's kind of trying to leave their own legacy. So, you know, that keeps going. Everybody's just going to keep stepping the bar up, you know. So like we said, what doesn't kill us makes us stronger. So I think that's kind of the motto. So we're just going to keep rolling with it.
I know we were just talking right before we started this about being the Road Warriors. Yeah, you guys are on the move, and it's been a busy time to start the season.
Yeah, most definitely. But you know, that's one of the things I think that helps us with our success is we've got to go out and see the competition and, you know, have the boys face it head on. And, the only way to do that is to get on the road, you know, so, we need to see everybody there is to see. And, that's just what we do.
I love wrestling from so many standpoints. It's the ultimate brotherhood, I think, of so many sports. It's obviously, it's an individual sport where, you know, you're competing individually, but the team aspect is so much greater than maybe some other sports that are individual. I mean, we can talk about, you know, tennis and some other, you know, individual sports with a team aspect, but nothing like wrestling. It's a sport unto its own in that way.
Yeah, it's its own unique entity. I mean, like you said, it's individual and team, but, you know, you're not going to be successful if each individual doesn't do what he's supposed to do, and, you know, that's what leads to the team success. But, you know, the thing is this group of young men, and, you know, no matter where you're at, you know, you're eating, you're sleeping, you're bleeding, you're, you know, you're doing everything together, so you can't help but build a bond. And, you know, here at Servite, that's kind of our tradition, you know, that's, you know, the formation of building these young men and the brotherhood. And trust me, these guys are our brothers. I mean, you could go anywhere and they'll take care of each other, but it's kind of hard not to when you're doing what we're doing, you know. So they're with each other probably more this time of year than they're on their own families. So, you know, they've got to rely on somebody. So they do a very good job of that.
You know, I want to ask you about, you know, so many of your wrestlers. There's so many ones to talk about, but obviously, you know, Andrew Silva comes back as a CIF champion at 106 a year ago. And there's a kid that obviously I would think is a great leader in this program.
Oh, most definitely. I have he's outstanding, you know, being the young man that went to state force last year and going 2-2, comes back, you know, he's got the knowledge and stuff and he's surrounded. You know, we have a group of seniors that are really solid, and what's nice is we have a group that's on the team one, and we have a group that's on the team two. So those young men that are on that team two for us, they're leading that group, and you know, we've got a solid group up here leading with Andrew and Teddy Okada and the Begonia brothers. It's quite a nice group to have, and they kind of take charge and get us to where we need to be.
Southern California, it's a hotbed of wrestling, as we know. I mean, there's so many great programs and legendary programs throughout this area. Do you like these early chances to get around and see so many of these other programs?
Oh, most definitely. I think that's the only way that we can prepare ourselves for what now is February. We used to say March, but, you know, everything's moved up a couple weeks.
Right.
So it's the only thing that prepares us for February. If we don't see them, it in my mind, it's hard for us to look and see, okay, what do we need to improve on? What mistakes did we make? How do we get better? So it's not the wins and losses early. It's what we learn from what we did and what are we going to do to make ourselves better or improve on or make sure we continue to do. And I think the only way you can do that is, meet the best. Last time I checked, and I could be wrong, so somebody's going to have to correct me, but when they take and put me in the ground, I don't think on my tombstone it's going to have my record of wins and losses. I hope it says something more like did an outstanding job of, mentoring young men. So, if I'm getting losses, that's the way it is. But if it's helping these guys, that's what it's all about.
Well, and you bring it up. It's a great point, and it's so much bigger part of what Servite is, and then it's what it means to be a part of that school and be a part of the athletic program there. It's obviously a privilege to be a member of Servite High School, but it speaks to the bigger aspect of what these young men are coming through and getting in these 4 years at Servite. It's not just about wrestling. It's about what you learn there that will take you into the rest of your life.
Exactly. These are 4 years, and hopefully a lot of young men choose, and they'll go on and compete another 4 years. And then you got 40 years you got to go to work. And I keep telling them, enjoy where you're at right now because, it's a false illusion if they're telling you that those next 40 years are the best years of your life. I said, they're great years, but just think about it. You're going to be doing the same thing every day. So you better pick something that you really enjoy doing. So take advantage of what you got right now. So hopefully most of them listen to that real well. So, but you're right. It's a big picture here at Servite, and we're developing young men. And I think that's kind of really the role wherever you're at. I would hope that's what everybody's role is. That's why we went into the profession. So, I hope everybody kind of does that, but I know that's not always the case.
Right. But certainly in your case, and we're talking with Alan Clinton, the head wrestling coach at Servite High School, you mentioned that you're in a unique position because you're your own boss, which is kind of nice, right? You're the head of the athletic department, you're the athletic director and the wrestling coach. It's not every coach that does that. Not every school has an opportunity where you can devote the time, obviously, that it takes to not only be the head wrestling coach, which for the number one team in the area, that means a lot. That takes a lot of your time, but you got to worry about this entire athletic program too. That's a huge job you've got.
Yeah, it's like three jobs. I'm the last of the Mohicans probably pretty much around here. So yeah, it is. It's a big undertaking, but I've kind of always done it. Before I was here, and I was at Elmo, same task. So I guess I fell off the turnip truck and hit my head, but it's something I enjoy doing, and hopefully I feel I do a pretty good job at both of them. So hopefully everybody else feels the same way. So I still have a contract today, so I must have done a good job this weekend. So I'm good. I'm good at least for one more week, but hopefully I can keep doing it the right way. That's kind of my plan and my goal.
Oh, no, we know you're doing it the right way. That's for sure, because the proof is obviously not only within the wrestling program, but the entire athletic department at Servite. Was there ever a time where you thought, man, maybe I hand this thing over to somebody else and I just concentrate on being the AD?
It might be the other way around. I might hand the AD job over and stay as the wrestling coach, But that doesn't happen too often, It's just what I do, Everybody has their kind of the thing that they do, and if you enjoy it, you have a good and bad no matter what you do. So if somebody doesn't tell you that, they're lying to you. But, I just get the hose out and keep watering my own grass, and hopefully everything keeps turning out the right way. And I enjoy it, so I can't complain, and that thought doesn't cross my mind too often.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff. Now, obviously, early on in this season here, we don't get this too often, but early on, number one and number two matched up as you guys got to match up with Villa Park, obviously another great Orange County program. What did you learn coming out of that meet?
Well, I think the most important thing was is for the sport, that's really what we need to do. You know, your top teams need to meet each other. That's how you're going to build, you know, a base for you know, the public to get involved and cause some excitement. So I kind of enjoy that. And the big thing we learned was is that was our first competition. And so I kind of had to say, hey, are we ready? Are we prepared? What do we need to do? And going against Aaron Cross and his young men at Villa Park was an outstanding test for us. So because I know they'll always be prepared. So for us, it was part of the measuring stick, you know, and going through. So kind of got us started on the right track. And now every week we're raising that little bar and seeing where we're at. And hopefully it just keeps raising till we get to the end of February. So that's kind of our game plan.
One of the things I wanted to ask, I don't know if I've ever asked you this before. We've done interviews in the past, but you know, obviously in so many other sports, you know, we see in basketball and in volleyball, there's those youth programs where kids come up and they've been playing from such young ages. Is this same thing in wrestling? I mean, are there youth programs? How young do kids start? How many years have they been wrestling by the time they get to a high school program like yours?
Yes, to answer your first question, there are youth programs. Yes, we have one. Ours is Team Credo. It varies. They'll start as young as 5 years old.
Oh, wow.
The difference kind of in our world, what we'd say is we still, I call it the pure sport, we get those kids that have competed, you know, through, they either start at five or maybe they start in the sixth grade or the seventh grade, but we also get a high percentage that they walk in and the freshman year is their first year of wrestling. So we're very, you know, have the whole pendulum across the board on what we get. But, you know, I'm kind of fortunate. I have a great group that runs my my team, Credo. Larry Clayburg is my director of that and does a great job. So a lot of these young men that are coming through have been involved somehow, some way with our Team Credo, you know, and had the opportunity. They came in, they saw Servite, liked what they saw, and then now are here with us today. So, but we get quite a variety pack. But youth wrestling, it's becoming more and more. You know, we're not going to deal like, you know, soccer or baseball, you know, type situation, because it's a sport that a lot of your population is not aware of, unless, you know, dad was involved in it when he was in high school and stuff. But it's becoming bigger and bigger. But I think we'll always continue to have that 50-50 margin of, you know, this percentage has and this percentage never has. I think that'll continue on. I don't think we'll ever end up being like baseball where everybody's a superstar and an all-leaguer. We'll stay kind of pure across the board, I have a feeling, with wrestling.
But I will tell you this, though, by the time you get to those state meets at the end, boy, there's not an empty seat in the arena. I mean, wrestling has a rabid fan base. It's crazy that you're right. Everybody shows up when it comes time to see those great matches at the end. I mean, the fan support is great.
No, it's unbelievable. As a matter of fact, it is in state events, it's the number one moneymaker for, you know, the CF State. It's a sellout event, you know, at a big arena. We have a great fan base, and it keeps growing. You know, it's kind of interesting. It keeps growing, and now that women are involved, you know, you have another asset that's growing, you know, in that fan base. So, you know, the sky's the limit. I think it'll just keep going, and as other sports go on, I think wrestling, you know, has a lot of longevity left in it. So I think you'll see it just keep growing as time goes on.
Alan Clinton is our guest, the head wrestling coach, also the athletic director, as we were just talking about, at Servite High School. Is it a special kind of kid? You know, you talk about maybe a kid that comes in and hasn't wrestled as a freshman, and maybe you just see the raw talent in them and the athletic ability, and I'm sure that's exciting. But is there a special kind of kid that kind of gravitates towards wrestling?
Well, you got to have a little wild hair, I can tell you that, you know, because who's going to come into a room and sweat and beat on somebody else and think that it's fun? You know, that doesn't fit everybody's personality. So, yeah, there's a lot of uniqueness to it. But, you know, we get a combo here. I'm fortunate, you know, Troy Thomas, the football coach, really loves wrestling. He wrestles as a senior in high school. He sees the benefit, you know, and if you listen to most of your college coaches anymore, they'll say, hey, we got a guy that's a combo football wrestler. He has a higher chance of us taking him to the next level than anybody else, and Troy kind of sees that. So I get a group of football players every year that have never wrestled but are good athletes, and you know they come in, you know, really starting off hoping to help us develop their football game, and by the time we get to the end, not only do they have improved their football game, they actually start loving a second sport. So it helps us with multi-sport athletes tremendously, you know, or a kid gets cut from another sport and they have to wander in. We pick up a couple of real good kids that way also. So, you know, they thought they were going to come and be whatever it was and end up being a wrestler for us. So it's kind of a win-win situation.
See, there's the true story of why you rehired Troy Thomas to come back to serve it. It's the whole wrestling thing, right?
It sounds good, doesn't it?
There's obviously such a combination there, though. So many football players wrestle, and wrestlers play football. I mean, it's just a natural thing, right?
Oh, most definitely. You know, I mean, if you go out, you know, you got Urban Meyer, you know, you got those guys. That's one of the big things they talk about now, you know, is that combo together. And they're kind of preaching, don't be just an individual sport guy. You need to combo up with something that, you know, makes you good at what you want to do. So I think if people, you know, listen to that, they'd be a lot better off with their kids, you know, type situation. And it would help them a lot. So, but those two kind of are a marriage, you know, so. It works out well.
And in our closing moments here, obviously, you know, we talked about a couple of the kids that are obviously, you know, at the top and already top ranked. But I got to think, too, within your program, there's always a couple of kids you got your eyes on that you think, man, here's a kid who maybe a month from now or a couple of weeks from now, whatever, when they get going, are really going to be somebody we're going to start talking about as well.
Oh, that's kind of our goal. You know, you start with a couple, but by the time you get to the end, you're hoping that you got everybody where they need to be. And I can say that I don't have a young man that isn't striving for that. You know, there are always those, I call them the diamonds in the rough, that all of a sudden you keep polishing them a little bit. And, man, do they have a nice sparkle when it comes time at the end of the year for you. So we definitely have those. And I think if you're going to be a good program, that's the only way to do it. You know, you got to bring them all along. That's what leads to tradition and the success of all the young men as they come through.
Well, when you look at the rest of the Trinity League, how does the rest of the league shape up? As well, obviously not everybody can be a Servite, but how does the rest of the league look?
Well, of course, Bosco, you know, our tribal is going to be always very good. So, you know, that's going to be a barn burner there for us. That'll be the bloodbath as we go through. So, but they'll be very, very, very good. Coach Renteria at Modern Day does a good job. He usually has, you know, three or four or five good, solid kids, and he keeps trying to build over there. Joe List at Orange Lutheran is the same way. He may have one of his better squads this year. He's got three or four pretty talented young men, and hopefully he can grow on that. So everybody's working real hard. You know, Santa Margarita, they've got three or four young men that are going to be pretty talented. You know, they've got that heavyweight back, but they've got a couple other hidden ones in there. So, you know, Bosco's kind of the arch rivalry, but everybody else, you know, they keep nipping at the heels. That's why you got to stay ahead of the game, you know, because if you don't, they're gonna get you. So we don't want that.
But still, Servite at the top of the heap, and I imagine it's going to stay that way this season and beyond. Coach, want to thank you for taking a couple of minutes, and we wish you luck. And it's going to be fun to see this program just continue to get better and better as the season goes on.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks for having me on, and Merry Christmas to you and all the listeners, and Happy Holidays.
And same to you, Coach, and everybody at the Servite Athletic Department as well. That is Alan Clinton, the head wrestling coach and the athletic director at Servite High School. Much more to come here on Catholic Sports U. We will be right back. You're listening to Relevant Radio.
In L.A. County, there are more than 28,000 children in foster care. And sadly, every day more children enter the system. But their story doesn't have to end there. Maybe you've been thinking about starting or expanding your family. If so, there's a child in foster care waiting for you. A simple visit to fosterall.org can change the course of a child's life and yours. As a proud partner with the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, Foster All takes the guesswork out of navigating the foster adopt process and will match you with a foster family agency that suits your needs. Each agency is different, so let Foster All be your guide. Log on to fosterall.org. There's a community of amazing people waiting to support your decision to love a child, and Foster All is right beside you the entire way. Do you have room in your heart and your home for a child? Begin your journey with Foster All today at fosterall.org. That's fosterall.org.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View right here on Relevant Radio. I'm Bob Gibson, and we're going to visit for a few minutes now with the new boys basketball coach in his first year at J. Sarah Catholic High School, and that is Keith Wilkinson. Coach, thanks for joining us. You still getting used to the title?
Yeah, I am. It's still a little different being at high school compared to college, but we're already halfway through the year, so it goes fast.
Yeah, no, it certainly does, and your team's off to a great start, 12-2 as of the time that we're doing this interview, and I'm sure that'll be a much better record by the time everybody hears this as well, because your team is really on a roll, and I want to talk about them, and I want to get into some of your history and your background and how you got to Jay Serra. Let's touch on that first, and then we'll kind of circle back around to what your team's doing this year. But I want to get to know you a little bit, have our listeners kind of get to know you, because obviously, the Jay Serra whole athletic program that we've covered here on our show, we know is just really starting to, things are really starting to blow up there at the school in a big way. And Jay Serra is really on the map. And this basketball program is now part of that. You've got to be excited to be part of Jay Serra as well.
I am. I couldn't be more excited to be there. And for a guy that grew up in Orange County and I played at Capitol Valley High School and when I was at Capo, Jay Serra was just being built. So to see kind of where it's come, where it is now, I could not be more excited to be there and really, really enjoy working for the athletic department and the whole school in general. And it starts with the guys at the top. I think obviously our president, Rich Meyer, does a great job there. Principal Eric Stroop, and then our athletic director, Chris Ledyard, is the guy who kind of brought me in, who I just have a great relationship and really enjoy working with.
You mentioned, playing your high school ball at Capitol Valley. Of course, you played for the legendary Brian Mulligan. The Mulligan name, of course, is legendary across Orange County. His father, Bill Mulligan, the former head coach at UCI, back in the day. Of course, his sister's a basketball coach as well. So, I mean, you got to learn what it was like not only as a player, but maybe your early influences as a coach, from one of the best.
Yeah, I really enjoyed playing for Brian his whole family has obviously been in coaching for a long, long time. He's been very successful doing it there at Capo. The funny thing is I've actually gotten a lot closer with Coach since I've been back at the high school level. And I've had such a great appreciation for what he's done and for what all these high school coaches do now that I've been at this level. Even though it's only been a couple of months since I've been here, I think our relationship has grown a ton just in the last 6 months, because I've had to rely heavy on him for things and questions because, again, I've never been at the high school level. So very thankful to play for him, but thankful to call him a friend now. As well.
Yeah, I know you're referencing your time, coaching in college, but obviously after your high school playing career, you got a chance to go to USC. Right? what could be better than that? And you really got to play at USC during a great time, a great era within the basketball program there.
Yeah, it was really special. I got to go to one of the best schools, I think, in the country. And the best thing about it was far enough away where it was away from Orange County, but at the same time too, it was close enough. If I needed to jet home, I could. So it was a perfect kind of distance and something new for me. And then, very fortunate to play and be part of three NCAA tournament teams and be able to really have a great run while we were there in those 3 years or 4 years. So it was just really fun. It was a great time.
One of your teams got a chance to beat Kevin Durant's Texas team. Well, whatever happened to that Durant guy? Did he turn out okay?
Yeah, he turned out all right. It was funny. I was was talking with one of our staff members and a guy on our staff who we have an unbelievable staff here at Jay Serra as well. We have six coaches that play Division I who are working with us at the program. And we were talking about the Pac-10 at the time before it was the Pac-12. It makes me sound a little bit older than that. I want to. But when it was the Pac-10, it was crazy because in my 4 years, there was over 100 guys, 100. That's insane to think about. 10 teams in 4 years, over 100 guys who are in the NBA from those 4 years.
Wow.
And so it was at the time when, I think Arizona State was in sixth or seventh place of the Pac-10. They had James Harden and Jeff Pendergrass, who are both NBA players, and they were seventh out of 10 in the conference. So it was probably the time when the basketball was the best. On the West Coast, it was crazy.
Well, without a doubt. Keith Wilkinson is joining us, head boys basketball coach at Jay Serra Catholic High School. Your head coach at your time at USC, Tim Floyd, another well-respected head coach. Were you at all thinking at all in college that coaching might be your future? Was that when did that start to kind of creep in maybe?
It's funny. I've always loved coaching, and I've always, really enjoyed the game. And I think, I was a talented player, but the only way that I survived is just being cerebral and having that IQ, because I was playing against guys who are bigger, taller, faster, stronger. But I just had to outsmart them, be a little bit smarter than them. So I've always had a mind, and I've really enjoyed it. But I never thought I'd make it a profession until I got done playing overseas. And Coach Floyd actually invited me out to the University of Texas, El Paso, to become a full-time coach at, 22 years old. And I said, okay, Coach, I want to come visit so I can check it out. And he goes, nope, you just got to come. If you're in, you got to be all in. So I think he knew in the back of his mind, if I would have visited El Paso, I don't know if I would have taken it. So I kind of went out on a whim. I said, all right, let's do it. And I really fell in love with it. And it's just fun. And most importantly, I think it's a great area to shape and mold young men and try to help them become the best people they can be and positive members in society.
I guess when your playing career wrapped up in 2009, you made the decision, right, to play some professional basketball. Not everybody gets that opportunity, but your journey took you to the Ukraine. I mean, what was that experience like?
Well, that was once in a lifetime experience. It was quite different, but being able to play professional basketball was awesome. This was before, FaceTime and WhatsApp and all these things. This is when you had to have Skype and a 10 out of 10 connection to be able to communicate to anybody back home.
Right.
So it was a little bit more challenging. But it was a great experience. I mean, I got to go to a place of the country I'd probably never see. And, I got to travel to Lithuania and Serbia as well while I was out there and play basketball and learn a little bit different style. I mean, in Europe, it's a lot more cutting and passing and moving, not as athletic and one-on-one. So it helped my overall basketball IQ, continue to develop as well. And I got to learn a little Russian out of it, too.
Hey, that's not too bad either, right? Yeah, maybe if you ever get a kid who comes over from Russia wants to come to Jay Sarah, hey, you might be the guy who's able to get him to come to your school, right?
Exactly. I might be able to communicate a little bit with them.
The college route obviously presented itself to you, and you got a chance to move around a little bit. Ended up at UC Riverside, so you got a chance to come home and come back to California. That had to be appealing, I guess.
Yeah, you hit it on the head. I ended up really enjoying my time at University of Texas, El Paso, and it was tough at first, because a Southern California kid going to West Texas in the middle of nowhere was different. But at the same time, after 3 years there, I really, really, really I learned to enjoy it, love it, and the community and the people are great. But the opportunity to come back home and be a little bit closer and moved to Riverside, which is only an hour away, was very appealing. And the Big West was a very fun conference to be in, because unlike UTEP, when you travel across the country to go play a game in the Big West, all you have to do is just kind of hop in a bus and go down the street. So it was a great conference to be in.
Did you think your future was going to be, moving up the college ranks and, kind of taking some of those, assistant positions along the way, and then maybe get a shot at a head coaching spot? Did you think you were going to stay in that college spot?
I did. I really thought I was going to be in college for a long time and doing that. My only thing with the college deal was, though, is I didn't want to sacrifice, for a job to move every single year and not have a community and not be settled. And then once I met my wife, I kind of just, they took a step back and it wasn't about me anymore. And I really ultimately wanted to be in a place where I could be for a long time. And I've always looked up to guys like, Steve Fisher, who was at, two schools. He was at Michigan and San Diego State for a really, really, really long time. A guy like Randy Bennett, who's been at St. Mary's for a really, really, really long time. And if you look at that in college, it's extremely rare and really hard to do. So once I got married and was thinking about it, I was like, gosh, is this really what I want to have when I have kids one day and be traveling and gone all the time? And then the Jay Sarah thing kind of came up, and it's a place where I do think, you can set a foundation and be there for, 15, 20, 30 years if you choose to, and have a community and have your family be rooted, which is very, very important to me.
Was there an opportunity where maybe you sat down and you thought, hey, maybe God's kind of pushing me in this direction, or maybe kind of moving me and putting parts in motion here that are moving me in this way?
100%, because when I had gotten engaged to my wife, we were really thinking about it, praying about it, and then it happened, I think it was the day before or day after, no, day before New Year's. We're coming back from a road trip And my head coach that I was working for, a guy who I really like and respect and really enjoyed working for and had been working with him for 5 years, Dennis Cutts was let go with 2.5 years on his contract and over $500,000 at UC Riverside,
wow,
which is like unheard of. It's like never been happened.
Right?
Like, not very athletically driven. He was let go, and so it was like, oh, my gosh. And then the first assistant got, you know, promoted to interim head coach, and I got promoted to first assistant. And I was thinking to myself, and I was talking with my other buddy who was promoted, Justin Bell, is a very, you know, strong believer as well. It's like, is this God's plan? Like, does he want you to be the head coach and us to be here for another 5 years? Or what is going on? And just kind of praying for a sign. And then in January, Chris Ledyard called me and just said, hey, I think we're going to have an opening at Jay Serra because our head coach now is going to probably go full-time into youth ministry. Is this something you'd be interested in? I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, 2 or 3 weeks after my head coach got let go with 2.5 years left on his contract, this thing comes, you know, knocking. It's like, that's as clear of a sign as I felt like there could be. I felt like it was God just throwing it right in front of me, which, you know, I told Chris, I just said, you know, I'm very interested in the opportunity. I'm going to give everything I got to Justin Bell and UC Riverside these next 2.5 months until we finish up. So I don't even want to really, you know, explore that until I finish here. But once the season's over, I'd love to come down and sit down and talk about it. So it all happened, and it was totally a God thing.
Yeah, you know, and it's just funny how it works out, right? You know, Keith Wilkinson, our guest, head boys basketball coach at Jay Serra High School. You know, it's funny, it's not unheard of, obviously, in the Trinity League. Jeff Reiner to Santa Margarita came from Fresno. So, you know, we know coaches are coming, certainly on the football side of things, too. A lot of head coaches are coming out of the college ranks, coming in into high school. The Trinity League has that feeling, almost like it's a college conference in a way. That's how much the level of talent and I guess the expectations have come into now in the Trinity.
Yeah, you know, it's really unbelievable how good the Trinity League is and where these coaches are coming from and the stuff that they're doing. I mean, I'm just even amazed at the coaches that we have, you know, at Jay Serra and Pat Harlow, you know, being, you know, a first round draft pick and, you know, our swim coach competing against Michael Phelps in the Olympics. And it's just like the coaches that we have are unbelievable. And the reason that is because the Trinity League is, you know, arguably the best high school league in the country. And, you know, it's really attractive for these coaches and people like myself. I mean, you get to coach high caliber athletes, which, is great. You know, I mean, and help these kids, you know, ultimately develop their game and get to where they want to be, which is awesome.
You also got a chance to land into a really good situation too, because you come into a program where the cupboard's not bare. You don't have to go out and drag kids out of classrooms to come show up. You got an opportunity to inherit some really good talent on that Lions squad.
Yeah, you know, it was a great opportunity, and there are a lot of very good young players. It's also been a little bit different, just because the only guy that they have returning who has really a ton of game experience and points returned is DJ Rodman.
Right.
He graduated 9 seniors. So there was 3 other guys, you know, Parker Santos, Juwan Ganayu, and Paxton Brazell, who were all on varsity last year, but none of them really logged a ton of minutes. So outside of DJ Rodman, this is a completely brand new group who's never really experienced the Trinity League. With, you know, Parker Santos, our senior, probably being the next most experienced guy in there, you know, and him coming off the bench as on a limited role last year.
How was that transition? Because obviously, you know, we're talking 15, 16, 17-year-old kids and, you know, maybe not used to a lot of change. And then, whoa, here's a new head coach that shows up on campus. You know, what were those first meetings like and how quickly was it, you know, to get the kids to buy into what you're about?
Yeah, you know, I think it happened pretty quick, to be completely honest with you. And I started May 1st, and so I was able to finish up at the end of their year last year. So I had a 7-period basketball class, and in that 7-period basketball class, we just did a ton of individual workouts and just try to, you know, help guys, you know, improve their craft. And I think that really that short amount of time right there really helped, and I was able to bond with the guys and, you know, and all of them, not just, you know, the varsity guys, our entire group. And we had a huge group. This year, the biggest they've ever had. In the fall, we had over 90 kids. Now we're down to about 83, 84, but we had over 90 kids this fall, and it was a massive group.
Wow.
I've been really, really lucky because they've embraced me and really respected what I've said, and I think I've inherited a great group of kids. They're really, really, really good kids.
Is it a different? And I mean, obviously, it is. You know, the collegiate level, the high school level are different. What are the big differences as far as teaching the game, kind of being that that mentor and maybe that second father sometimes to some of these kids?
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing is just the motivation of, you know, your top three or four guys in the program are going to be motivated by themselves. But, you know, guys that, you know, play and guys that start and you know, that's all the way through every single level may not be as motivated as the college guys, because obviously the college guys are the best players on the team. They earn that scholarship and they're extremely motivated when they get there. There's probably a little bit more having to motivate in high school sometimes and having to say, we always say you got to say no to some good things to say yes to some better things. Meaning, you know, like Friday night, you might have to say no to hanging out with your friends and getting to bed because, you know, you got a big game on Saturday or something like that. Whereas in college, they're a little bit more motivated to do those things and to, you know, play hard because it's, you know, on national TV or in front of everybody, or they've always been the best player at their school. So the motivation and how to motivate guys has been a lot different. And then ultimately, I think the coolest thing is they are so moldable and shapeable at this age. And when you get a 13, 14, 15-year-old kid coming in your office, you know, talking to you about something, you got to remember, I mean, you know, they're 13, 14, or 15 years old, and sometimes it's hard to see past like a Friday night for them just because they don't have the experience. And,
right.
And you know, that game, you know, meant everything. And, you know, a kid misses a free throw and is crying in the locker room. And you got to, you know, use those moments as teachable and moldable moments that, you know, tell them there's life bigger than basketball. And so it's been great. It's been really great. It's just you're dealing with younger kids, which is a little bit more emotions involved.
Keith Wilkinson, our guest this week, head boys basketball coach, J. Sarah Catholic High School. I mentioned the team off to a good start to 12-2. You've got some big wins. Obviously, like everybody else, you're playing. It's tournament time before the first of the year, and then once we turn the calendar, you're going to get your first run at a Trinity League campaign. And I'm sure you've been forewarned. It's not for the faint of heart, and it's the best level of basketball anywhere on the West Coast.
Yeah, no, we're really excited about that. You know, we've gotten off to a great start, and we struggled in our last two. We have four starters out right now, but our big kid, Hugo Clarkin, who transferred in from Tesoro, will be ready to play in our next game. You know, arguably one of our top two players, no question, is DJ Rodman and Ian Martinez. And Ian last week got a high ankle sprain in the first quarter of the Northwood game. And has been out. And then Juwan Ganayu has been out since the third game of the year. He sprained his MCL. So, and then Kevin White had back spasms last week, and he was out all of last year with a back problem. So we've had four starters out the last three or four games. So we kind of limped into the Christmas break here. We were 12-0 and then dropped their last two. But, you know, the guys that were playing were all sophomores, young guys who got great experience. And I think, you know, help boost their confidence, get some playing time. And so I think that will serve us well when we do get our full arsenal back and are healthy, hopefully going into the Trinity League, that, you know, we can rely on those sophomores and juniors to come in. And even if it's for 3 or 4 minutes, provide a spark off the bench because they've got some great experience here. These last couple games.
Yeah, you'll be down at Torrey Pines at the end of the year on San Diego to play one more tournament before you get into that Trinity League. Obviously, you've had a chance to look at some of it on film. How familiar are you with the rest of the teams in the Trinity?
I gotta dive into it a little bit more. I've been able to glance here and there at some of these games. You know, just being recruiting and being able to go out and see some of them last year, you know, I feel like I know Santa Margarita and Jeff and those players pretty well. I know Chris Nordstrom and Olu pretty well, though I haven't seen the new big kid they got, Maker,
except
the highlight of the fact that he's dunking on people and looks like Shaq out there. But, you know, and same thing modern day. I've known Gary. I actually played Little League Baseball with Gary McKnight and known Gary forever. So I'm pretty familiar with most of the group. And so I've seen Bosco this fall. The only team I don't know a ton about is Servite. So I feel pretty familiar. Obviously, I'll dive into it more after Torrey Pines. But we're playing in the national bracket of Torrey Pines, which means the best schools all across the country. And know, we open up with San Joaquin Memorial and Jalen Green, who's the number one junior in the nation. So it'll be a very, very tough challenge for us down there in Torrey Pines. And you know, hopefully something that we can build again as a foundation. And, you know, I hope we're all healthy and we have our full arsenal. But it'll be a very, very tough tournament, but hopefully it'll prepare us a little bit for the Trinity.
And then finally, you know, obviously you're a young guy, you know, starting out in your coaching career and your whole career ahead of you. But you mentioned wanting to set roots and looking at other coaches who set roots for a long time in certain areas. It sounds like that's something that's important to you. And maybe at this point, at least, you know, this is a job you want to stick around in for a long time.
This is, you know, I learned this from Coach Floyd. As long as they want me there, I'd love to be there kind of deal. And right now I think, you know, like I said, I got a great relationship with the people who run it and do it. And I really completely believe wholeheartedly in Chris Ledger's vision for the athletic program. And I think that shows. He's been there now for a little bit over 2 years and what he's been able to do and creating a community within the athletics program and, you know, having the coaches share ideas and, you know, I'm talking to baseball coach Brett Kay all the time. I'm talking to the football coach Pat Harlow. I'm talking, you know, to the boys water polo coach. I mean, you name it. And it's been a great atmosphere that he's provided. So as long as those things are all in place and things are flowing well, I mean, I could see myself being here for a very, very long time. And ultimately that comes from my dad. You know, when we moved to Orange County, I lived in Colorado, Seattle. And we moved to Orange County when I was 6 years old. And my dad just said, this is where we're going to be. This is where our community is going to be. And I have some of the best friends and family and just such a great community of support just from being in one area. And that's what I hope to have for my kids one day, just to be in an area where you can, you know, have that love of a church and a family and friends and mm-hmm. stay in one area, not bouncing around every year. Because I've seen that with a lot of coaches' families, and it's really, 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 yeah. really hard on that family.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Coach, we want to wish you luck. We look forward to covering you here this year and beyond. And we're looking forward to your team getting healthy and seeing a full complement of J. Sarah Lyons get into that Trinity League.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me on, and pleasure speaking with you.
Yeah, thanks again. That is the head basketball coach, boys basketball coach at J. Sarah Catholic High School, Keith Wilkinson. We'll have some more right here on Catholic Sports View. Plenty more ahead. Stay with us right here on Relevant Radio.
This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm radio host of the show Empowered by the Spirit. I've recently written a book, Expect and Experience Miracles, that is available on Amazon. And the reason we did that is because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to shower us with His love and shower us with His grace, which is unmerited favor. The definition of miracle is God's supernatural intervention in our lives. And Jesus does that all the time. Let's be open to it. Expect miracles, and you will see the grace that God has in store for you. God bless you all.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports for you right here on Relevant Radio. I'm Bob Gibson, and we're going to talk a little baseball. I know it doesn't seem like baseball season, but it's always baseball season because we are in Southern California, and we get an exciting couple of minutes here to talk with Amanda Simon from the Boris Classic. And, of course, everybody knows who Scott Boris is, the super agent and the biggest agent in the entire world. Busy right now, of course, negotiating contracts for some of the biggest baseball players. And but he's put together this great baseball tournament that happens at J. Sarah and Modern Day High Schools. And, Amanda, thanks for joining us here on Catholic Sports View.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I really appreciate the time.
Yeah, I love this tournament, and I love talking about baseball. Of course, I'm a baseball guy, so it's one of the premier tournaments. It's quickly become one of the premier tournaments in all, in the entire nation. Tell us a little bit about the beginnings of it and how Mr. Boris got the idea to kind of put this thing together.
Well, obviously everyone knows Scott's passion for baseball.
Right.
And the origination for the classic specifically actually came about when he was sitting in church one Sunday. And the message kind of inspired him to really find an effective way to give back to the community and really help out the kids in a lot of communities across the country be able to reach their dreams, whether it's continuing on to play baseball professionally or just a means really to be able to provide scholarship funds for education to reach their goals. And so Scott recruited his brother, Jerry, in to help him really develop the Classic and get it going, along with Jeff Priest, who I'm sure you're familiar with, also played professionally and is a pastor at Mariners Church, which is where Scott happened to be listening to Jeff. And that's kind of how the Classic was birthed. And it was about 7 years ago now that we started at J. Sarah in Modern Day. And they've been such great hosts to take on the Classic with us every year.
Yeah, and it's two great venues, obviously, and the newly configured baseball field at J. Sarah is a perfect place for it on one end, and then, of course, Modern Day, you know, having the great facilities up there as well to host the two sides of it. Now, for those not familiar with it, the DeBoer's Classic, there's a North and the South, and there's also an Arizona division, which we all talk about because that doesn't affect everything until the very end when the final game happens. But for us here, we have a Northern California and a Southern California division. And that's basically because of how much great baseball we have here in the state, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the South has always been a powerhouse in the country for baseball. We have really great teams joining us from the South. We have five new additions, which we're really excited about, with Ayala and Cypress, Rancho, Bernardo, as well as Utica and Marianta.
Yeah, I mean, all the great teams, you know, J. Sarah is the defending South champion, being the tournament host. Of course, that's kind of nice to have a little bit of that home field advantage for Brett Kay and his J. Sarah Lions. Obviously, having the wherewithal, being the Boers Corporation, I imagine it was easy to sort of put this thing together and at least get it in motion from the start.
You know, you would think so. In the South, we actually, it took some time for us to kind of build our name out there for the tournament, but we're really happy with, you know, 7 years in, being able to attract a lot of these really great powerhouse teams to participate, as well as all the national recognition we've been able to get, has kind of blown us away. And we're very appreciative of the support from each of the communities that we host the Classic in, and all the teams have been super great and really come to play. These kids love the opportunity to come and participate in the Boers Classic. And we hear a lot, and we get a lot of letters at the office saying how much they loved it, and their baseball highlights thus far have always been at the Classic. So we're very fortunate to have that.
Amanda Simon is our guest right now, and she is part of the Boers Family Foundation, doing public relations for them, and of course, doing a great job putting together this Boers Baseball Classic that happens every spring. Now, you know, we covered this a year ago. So many great names, you know, the kids, that a lot of kids that go on to become draft picks as well. So March 26th. Put that on your calendar is when everything gets going here in Orange County. I would imagine schools are lined up to want to be a part of this.
They sure are. We get a lot of requests wanting to participate. It's definitely getting harder and harder every year to pick these top teams. You know, having 16 slots in Southern California, they do fill up fast, and it is really getting pretty competitive, and it's hard to pick. But we're so fortunate to have a lot of these, like Trinity League staples, that are always powerhouses, like J. Sarah and Modern Day, as well as Olu. And then some teams just throughout the South, like Huntington Beach. It's pretty crazy with how much talent is coming through the Classic. We're very excited about every athlete that comes through, and all of our alumni as well, and we're going to see some success in baseball.
Obviously, Mr. Boers is known for having a very intricate staff put together on his end when he's doing his business and doing all the agent stuff. And I imagine the way he set it up and the way all of you have set it up within the Classic, it's the same way. I'm sure you have a very unique staff in there putting this all together.
We do take a lot of time to find not just powerhouse teams, but the players as well. Mm-hmm. And a lot goes into it. We consider a lot of different factors when selecting the teams, but also, you know, the team's like morals and values that each coach instills in their squads are very important to us, as well as obviously the athletic ability. The amount of research that goes into each is quite extensive, and we're very fortunate to have our host school coaches help participate in some of the team selection, with Jay Sarah's coach and as well as Modern Day's coach really helping to push through all of the teams and reach out to all of them for their coveted invites to the Classic. So we're very it's quite competitive, so it's very hard. We're glad to have a great team behind us really helping push through all of the team selections.
Yeah, these showcases are so much fun because not only is it a great collection of local talent as well, you're right, the coaches get a chance to come together, and there's a good feeling around it. It's obviously, it's competitive, and everybody wants to get out there and win, but as we know, the baseball community is a real tight-knit one, and it's a real fun opportunity to get a lot of people together who know each other really well and have a good couple of weeks out there as well. At the two locations, again, we'll remind you, J. Sarah High School and Modern Day High School are the two hosts down here in the South. And March 26th, again, is the day this all kicks off. And I know it seems like it's far down the road, but it really isn't, right? That day is coming quickly for you and your staff.
It is, yes. March is really right around the corner, and we do prep year-round for all of this. So we're very excited. This is probably our best field of team for the South yet. So we're very excited to see who comes out on top.
Now, I know there's California and Arizona, and I got to ask you if there's any plans to kind of expand this thing even further, maybe.
You know, the goal is always to provide a platform for as many of these talented athletes as we can to pursue either their baseball careers or just educational goals. And so we always look to expand. Our goal is to branch out a little bit more and work with some of our key partners to be able to help us make that happen on the foundation side.
Well, you know, we're looking forward to covering this thing. As I said, it's just such a great couple of days to be out there when it all happens. And then as it all sort of comes together and the teams kind of start weeding themselves out, we get to the best of the best. We know baseball's so great here in Southern California. Again, we're going to remind everybody, March 26th, J. Sarah High School, Modern Day High School. Get out here because you're going to see some of the best baseball talent around, some of the best baseball teams in Southern California. And that's all courtesy of Scott Boris and the Boris Foundation as well. It's the Boris Baseball Classic. Amanda, we want to thank you for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you out there in just a couple of short months.
Yeah, thanks for having me. We look forward to seeing you in the spring.
That's Amanda Simon, and she's head of the PR with the Boris Family Foundation. And once again, March 26, 2019. I know it seems like it's a little bit off, but it really is right around the corner. Always fun to talk a little bit of baseball. That'll wrap up another week right here on Catholic Sports View. I want to thank all my guests, Amanda Simon, Keith Wilkinson, and of course, Alan Clinton. You can catch us on Twitter if you so choose. Our handle is @CatholicSV. That's CatholicSV. Get a chance to tweet us there. And if you'd like to drop us an email, we're at CatholicSportsView@gmail.com. I am Bob Gibson, and we thank you again. And we hope you'll join us again next week right here on Catholic Sports View, where athletics meets faith. Have a good week.
Dear brothers and sisters, a very blessed Christmas season to you and your loved ones. This is Bishop Kevin Vann. One of my favorite songs of the season is an Italian hymn called "Tu Scendi dalle Stelle," or "Jesus Came Down from the Stars," or "Jesus Came Down from Heaven." Let us keep all that in mind this year as we journey through this holiday season, that the Lord has come down to meet us and guide us and walk with us. And if you happen to hear "Tu Scendi dalle Stelle," think about how the Lord has come down to meet all of us. Amen.